Do you have any prayer requests?
We should probably pray for the family and the school shooting yesterday.
Yeah, Uvalde, yeah. Yeah, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over these families in Uvalde. And Father, we ask you to show these families mercy and grace in this time of need. Father, cover them with the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Father, there's no way to understand what happened. And only you can heal this wound in these people's hearts. And Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over little Emery. Father, we thank you for your healing in him, that you woke him up. You're going to keep him alive, and you're going to make him live a long life. And he's going to glorify your name. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Last Wednesday, we talked about what it means to believe with the heart. You know, the man is a spirit. That's the real you. You just got to understand the picture we see of each other on a day-to-day basis. That's our body. That's our earth suit. And when you wear that thing out, you're going to change addresses, and you're going to go with wherever you go. And that's why it's so important to be born again. Because you are attached to that soul, and that's your mind, will, and emotions. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. We're going to talk about our inward man just a little bit more here. Paul said, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Paul pointed out that there is an outward man and an inward man. The outward man is the body. The inward man is the spirit. And the spirit has a soul. Your soul is never going to be detached from your spirit. Never, ever. So some people get this idea that when you die, you just stop feeling anything, and that's just so far from the truth, because your feelings are going to be so magnified so we can't even imagine what it must be like. We can't even imagine heaven, how wonderful that is. I mean, we can just think about it, and what we read in the Bible, read about it, but can you imagine walking up that river of living water, drinking that water, and heading towards the light, towards the source, and eating those leaves from the tree of life? Can you imagine that? Don't get down on your hands and knees and lap that water like a dog. Pick it up. You're too close to mess it up now. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. Paul said, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." So if the body were the real man, Paul would have said, "I keep myself under. I bring myself into subjection." But he refers to his body as it. That's not the real you. I is the man on the inside, the inward man that has been reborn. We do something with our body. We bring it into subjection. The man that we look at is not the real man. It is just the house we live in. Now, that being said, when you get born again, it is your spirit that gets born again. The Bible makes it clear that you have to have your mind renewed to the Word of God, and you need to do something with your body. It seems like there's an attitude that people get born again, they say, well, okay, that's it, I'm good. Well, you're going to go to heaven, but there's so much more. You need to bring your body into subjection. You know, the Bible tells us that we have these earthen vessels. And as long as we have these earthen vessels, we're attached to the earth, attached to the flesh. So we're always going to have a tendency to be pulled in that direction. But you have your spirit. You are a real spirit. And you bring your body into subjection. You can't let that thing just run wild. You can't just let your flesh go crazy. The same way with your soul. You need to have that renewed to the Word of God. You can't let this thing go crazy. There's Christians, there are people that are born again, that this thing is just a loose cannon. They haven't spent enough time in the Word to get this thing under control. You know, if you ever get a chance to read the book Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Myers, that's a really, really good read. It's an important thing for you to read. It tells you, it breaks it down, tells you how the devil attacks your thinking. And he gets you to playing mental basketball in your head. And then pretty soon, some little thing that happened, you just blow up. When it was something completely different that was really bugging you. You've been thinking about something different all day long, and then some little tiny thing, you know, she didn't cook the roast just right, or some stupid little thing, and you just pop. You know, get this thing under control. And you have to do that. See, here's the thing is there's a lot of positive thinkers running around. You can go buy a positive thinking book all the time, and it's always trying to teach you how to think good thoughts. It's right believing that's going to change the day for you. And when you start believing right, you're going to start talking right. See, you can't fight a thought with a thought. You have to fight a thought with the Word. I'll tell you just how powerful your words are. Everybody just close your eyes. And I want you to picture a big old fat pink elephant with a polka-dotted blouse, riding a unicycle, blowing a trumpet. And then say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, out loud. What happened to your pink elephant? See, it's hard to think about one thing when you're talking about something else. So when you get a thought, an outside thought, see, the devil has absolutely no access to your spirit, but he does have access to your soul, your thoughts. And that's what he throws these fiery darts at you. And you're supposed to take these thoughts captive to the name of Jesus and cast them down. Cast these imaginations, these high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. A high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What would a high thing be? Say, God said in His Word that He would supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, you wake up breathing as hard as you can, and you say, oh my God, I don't have anything near that in the bank account. How am I going to pay these bills? That's a high thing. That's a high thing. Now you may have to sit there and say this out loud. No, it is written, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But if you sit there and just try to think about a positive thing, this thing is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger until at 4 o'clock in the morning, when your husband rolls over, and he's not comfortable laying flat no more, and he rolls over, you elbow him. Be still. See, you should have just got up and went out there, got a glass of water, and talked to your thoughts. You would have been a lot less agitated. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now right there, he is really addressing sanctification. Now when you get born again, you get sanctified. You literally get set apart for God's purposes. But there's an ongoing sanctification. And you can keep going further and further and further. And God is the husbandman. You know, remember in John, he talks about he's the husband and you're the vine. You know, he'll pick the leaves up and wash them. And pretty soon he'll prune some stuff off of you. He said, you know, you need to put that Cajun food down and eat a little healthier. Leave those crawdads alone. Stop doing it. Probably. He may pick something and say, you know, the movies, the scary movies that you've been watching, you need to stop that. You need to just step away from that. You know, you can grieve the Holy Spirit. He'll groan. You know, my wife, it drives her absolutely crazy. But we'll be watching TV, and it can just be just a regular movie. And if it starts looking like something is sad, I get a dog, and I start playing with a dog or just anything. And she said, why do you do that every time? Because I don't like that. I don't like pain. I don't like discomfort. I don't like seeing people hurt. I don't like seeing people go through hard times. It really bothers me, and it really bothers my spirit, and it grieves the Holy Spirit. Even if it turns out good, I don't like it. But there's an ongoing sanctification, and you can just keep cutting stuff off. You can keep separating yourself away from the world. You're not being conformed to this world, but you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're getting more and more set apart. I don't know how far you can go with this, but Wayne Myers went all the way to the point where worldly goods just had absolutely nothing to him. They meant nothing to him. As long as he had some clothes to wear, he was good to go. You know, they had a refrigerator and a stove. And somebody finally gave him a car, but they wouldn't give him the title. Because he'd get a car and he'd be somewhere and he'd just give it away. And then he wouldn't have any way to get where he needed to go. You know, he'd get there, but finally they just gave him a car and wouldn't give him the title. So he couldn't give it away. You know, you can get that sanctification can go a long ways where, you know, really worldly possessions just doesn't mean anything to you. So Paul, he was writing to Christians in there. He addressed this letter to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Look down to verse 7. Although he was writing to men and women who had been born again, he said that they needed to do something with their bodies and their minds. The new birth is not a rebirth of the human body, but a rebirth of the human spirit. And the infilling of the Holy Ghost is not a physical experience, but a spiritual experience. I can't stress this enough. I don't care if you get goosebumps or not, if you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I don't care if you fall on the floor or not. I don't care if you get goosebumps or not. It's not a physical experience. It's a spiritual experience. And what are you going to receive by faith? By faith. Not by what you see, hear, feel, touch, smell, or taste. See, too many people are convinced that if somebody doesn't bounce around off the walls or do something crazy or go to singing in tongues or something, that they couldn't have got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Nothing could be farther from the truth. I was kind of frustrating because the pastor friend of mine that led me in this deal, he had been in the real Pentecostal. He come out of a real Pentecostal family, and then they went to Assembly of God, and I said, I need to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, you're right. So we prayed. He said, anything happen? I said, I don't feel any different. So he's looking at me like, I don't know. So I went to my pastor and I said, hey, I prayed to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he said, did you do it by faith? I said, yeah. He said, then go home and ask the Holy Spirit how to deal with it. And then it started flowing. Things started flowing. Started happening. But Paul said we had to do something with our bodies. We had to present them to God, a living sacrifice. We have to get our minds renewed with the Word of God. This is something that we do, not God, we do. He took care of the hard part, our spirit. Now we got our mind and our body. So if anything is done with them, we will have to do it. The Word says that you present your body unto God. Not your pastor. Not mama, nobody else, but you present your body unto God. Nobody else can do it for you. The Word says that you are to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our minds are renewed through the Word of God. It's the fellowship with Jesus through His Word. Jesus made it easy for us. You want to renew your mind, renew your body, Read the Bible. You know, people can read books like crazy. And then they pick up the Bible and they just give up after two or three chapters. Some people get mad, say, man, I read my Bible and I get four chapters in and I fall asleep. I said, well, that's a good thing. You found peace. Peace enough to fall asleep. Take a power nap. Get up. Read a little bit more. Here's a really, this, there's so many ways to do this. You can download the Bible, audio Bible, on your computer. Plug them earphones in and read it, and you can watch the words. You can go through the words following while it's talking, and then it's just like you're reading. You're hearing it. You're seeing it. There's lots of ways to do it. Just don't get frustrated and give up. And don't think that God's going to be mad at you if you fall asleep. He's not. So we know that man is a spirit made in the image and likeness of God. Some people believe that man is just an animal. I'm not a monkey. Not going to happen. Animals do have souls, but they are not spirits. They're not made in the image of God. There's nothing in them that is God-like. God took something of himself and put it in man. He made the body of man out of the dust of the earth, but he breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. The word breath, or ruach in the Hebrew, means breath or spirit, as is translated Holy Spirit. Many times in the Old Testament, God is spirit, so he took something of himself and put it in us. When he did, man became a living soul and a speaking spirit. He wasn't alive until then. But he became a living soul. He became conscious of himself because the body was dead without the spirit. And here's something that he did to Adam in the garden. The word Adam is broke down. There's two words. Adam. Adam. Literally means the blood of God. He put his blood in Adam. You know how, you know, you're going to know Adam when you see him in heaven. You're going to know him right off the bat. You know why? You don't know how to tell Adam? He ain't got no belly button. He was made, not born. So that's what makes us different from animals. Animals have souls, but they are not spirits. Animals have souls for the sole purpose, intellectual and emotional qualities. And animals have these, but it is all physical, and when the physical is dead, all is gone. Our souls, our intellectual and emotional qualities are not based upon the physical, but upon the spirit. And when the body is dead, they still exist. This is important. Go to Luke chapter 16, verse 19. This is why it is absolutely so important. See, we used to run around and say, get born again, live forever with Jesus. That's true, but it leaves the idea that maybe if you don't get born again, you're just going to kind of lay around and turn into dust. You're still going to live forever. Your spirit, your soul is going to live somewhere. You just change addresses when you wear out your earth suit. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 says, there was a certain rich man. Now, this is Jesus talking here. And every time Jesus, see, you have to understand that God cannot lie, Jesus cannot lie, Holy Spirit cannot lie. If one of them ever lied, they'd have to bow their knee to the devil, because the devil is the father of all lies. Now, there's a false teaching running around that said that everything has to be backed up by three scriptures. No. They took that scripture out of context. It says everything needs to be backed up by three witnesses. That's dealing with people, not scripture. People. Always remember, Jesus cannot lie. Even if there's not three more references in the Bible to it. Jesus did not lie. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs from which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. They both left their earth suit. And you can see the rich man still able to think and talk. And he was tormented. See, he's tormented forever. Without any chance to get back in good grace with God. You will live. When you leave your earth suit, that's why you need to make sure you're born again before you leave. In this passage of Scripture, we have a very vivid illustration of man's three parts, his spirit, soul, and body. Verse 22 says, the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Who was carried away? The beggar, not his body. His spirit is the real person. His body was put in the grave, but he was in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died. His body was put in the grave. But in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Although Abraham's body had been in the grave for many years, the rich man saw him. He also recognized Lazarus. Therefore, in the spirit realm, man looks very similar to what he does in this life. He cried out to Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember, man is a spirit, and he has a soul. So we see in this scripture that his soul is still intact. Abraham told him to remember. So he can still remember. He has emotion. He was tormented. And he was concerned about his five brothers that were still living. There's going to be no unbelievers. When a man leaves his body, he's no longer an unbeliever. He may not be born again, but he believes then. He knows without any shadow of a doubt that hell is hot and God is real. This is why it's so very important to witness to somebody. If you get any chance at all, if they give you any open door whatsoever, you witness to them. You don't know. Nobody knows. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. I know people make plans for 30 years down the road, 40 years down the road. You know, people buy houses that they have 30-year fixed mortgage on, and they figure they're going to stay at this same job, and they're going to raise 2.5 kids, and you know, whatever the stats say. And then they're going to retire when they're 67 and a half years old. They got all these plans, and they do all this work. And they store up their treasures on earth, where people can break in, thieves can break in and steal, moths do eat, and rust does corrupt. I'm only going to tell you this one time. I'm not going to speak of it again. If you've got your full retirement wrapped up in an IRA or a stock market that's based on this earthly system, you need to start shuffling some of that into gold and silver. God honors gold and silver. He does not honor this greenback dollar. This greenback dollar is going away. That's Satan's system. That's not God's. God is a spirit. He became a man. He became a man. For Jesus was God manifested in the flesh, living in a human body. I preached for 9 months one time in a Southern Baptist church, showing them verse by verse, scripture by scripture, what happens when a man gets born again and then he gets the baptism of the Holy Spirit and he goes about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. Just the way the Bible describes us. He described Jesus that way and he describes you that way. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Spent 9 months preaching on that. And I said something about a particular miracle or healing in there. And I said, and you do the same thing. Some lady said, but that was Jesus. Here's the thing you need to understand about Jesus. He became a flesh and bone man, the same as you. That's why it's very important to understand the Bible describes him as Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Not Jesus Christ of heaven, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. A righteous man that got the baptism of the Holy Spirit and went about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. What happens when you get born again? You become a righteous man. So then, the Bible says to be followers of Jesus. You know, that's what Christians means. Little anointed ones. Little anointed ones. So you go, get yourself the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then you go out and you do the things that he did. He said you could do the same things that he did and even greater things than he did. All he needs you to do is just step out there and pull the trigger on something. And he took on a physical body. When he did, he was no less God than he was before. Well, he had to do things on this earth as a man. So we know that man leaves his physical body at death, and when he does, he is no less man than he was when he had his physical body, as proven by the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And we cannot know God through our human knowledge. You cannot know God through your human knowledge. I was shocked. But I was witnessing to a bunch of Muslims one time. And I come across this one guy and I started talking to him about Jesus. He said, you know, I spent 15 years in ministry. I said, really? He said, yeah. And I even sat under the feet of one of the most prominent pastors in New York or on the East Coast. I said, really? Why are you running around in sheets with your head wrapped up like an idiot? Washing your feet when you go to the urinal. You know, you can go through 15 years of ministry and not get born again. That's why these guys that show up with these PhDs and all this other stuff, that just doesn't mean nothing to me. That just doesn't mean nothing to me. Some of the most spiritually dead people you'll run into have spent years, literally years, in cemetery school. They went through all that time, didn't get born again. That's crazy. We're not going to know God through our human knowledge or through our mind. God is only revealed to man through his Spirit. It is the spirit of man that contacts God, for God is a spirit. The Bible, you know, Jesus ran into the woman and told her that people will worship God in spirit and in truth. That's not hard to do. How to worship God in spirit and in truth is read his Bible. And you're sitting there reading it and you run into something that strikes your heart or catches your attention. And you say, oh, that's interesting. So you read it a couple more times and pretty soon you start getting some butterflies in your stomach. That's your spirit getting turned on to something. So what do you do with that? Circle it with your favorite crayon and turn to the next page? No. Circle it with your favorite crayon and stay on that page for a while. Stay on that scripture for a while. You know, you're going to get revelation in bits and pieces sometimes, and sometimes it'll take you a little while. You may have to fight in the spirit to get a revelation from a scripture, but you know it's important. If it was important enough for you to circle or underline or caught your attention, spend some time looking at that. And fight for that. Don't let the devil take that seed. Don't let him steal that. Don't let him divert your attention. Fight for it and stay on that scripture until you get it. Pretty hard. You may have to fight your flesh. You may have to fight your soul. But stay on it. Some things are worth fighting for. And when you find one of those things worth fighting for, you fight like you're the third monkey on the ramp to Noah's Ark, and brother, it's starting to rain. Did you see that one too? I thought that was cool. But, you know, get in there and get aggressive for these things. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you for every word that you've given us. And we thank you. We thank you for Holy Spirit who keeps on teaching us. And he keeps bringing revelation to us. And Father, we thank you for the freedom that you have given us in Christ Jesus. And regardless of what's going on in the world, we thank you that you are caring for us. You are so watchful of us that you even numbered the hairs on our head so that we can go into this new season of life boldly. And any worries that we may come across, we can cast them over onto Jesus and we can rock on. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.